Earplay is produced by National Public Radio and WHA under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. Hello, I'm Jim Fleming. Welcome to Earplay and the BBC production of Korsakov's Psychosis, a comedy by Jeffrey Parkinson. During the next hour, we'll find out whether Frank and Gregory can connive Auntie Mabel's fortune out of the hands of Dr. Fowler and his clinic for the diagnosis and treatment of Korsakov's disease and into their own pockets. Korsakov's Psychosis by Jeffrey Parkinson.
Hello?
Gregory? This is Frank.
Is that Frank?
Listen, lad. Your Auntie Mabel is in the Memorial Hospital, room 68. They don't think she'll last the weekend. Do you remember what we used to talk about in Pentonville Prison?
Escaping.
No. Her will, Gregory.
Her will? Oh! Her will!
Now get down to the Memorial Hospital as quickly as you can.
Yes. Why, exactly?
Because you are a concerned human being who loves his dear old auntie. And because you've got to make sure you get every penny of her money when she dies.
Room 68, please. Room 68. Go down the main corridor, turn left at ophthalmics, past X-ray on the left, then follow the corridor round to the right, and it's the second on the right. No, left. Correct me, the right. Yes, the right. Thank you very much. Or is it the left?
I'm going near room 68, very near. Shall I show you?
Oh, thank you.
Don't doctors and nurses do a wonderful job?
Yes.
Looking after other people.
Yes.
I've come to collect my husband.
Oh, yes?
To take him home. He's completely paralyzed, you know.
Yes?
Can't do a thing for himself. But the kind doctors and nurses are going to let me take him home. I didn't think they would. I thought perhaps because I suffer from chronic arthritis, they might not. You see, I thought they might think I couldn't look after him properly.
Mm.
But no, they said I could have him back. They didn't even ask about my arthritis. So kind of them, isn't it? Every night I pray for our doctors and nurses, you know.
Yes.
I think you'll find the room you want is just over there.
Oh.
She's a dear lady.
Hey?
In 68.
Oh, yes, my auntie. Auntie.
Oh.
Auntie!
What? Oh, it's you, Gregory. For a moment, I thought you were an oxygen cylinder.
No. It's me, Auntie.
It's my heart, you know.
Yes, you've got a heart of gold, Auntie.
Doctors have looked at my body very carefully. Every bit of my body. Ears, nose, throat, all fine. Arms, eyes, legs, feet, hands, fine, all fine. Liver, kidneys, all the rest of the offal. Everything's fine, except for one thing. My heart. That's the one thing that's wrong with me, Gregory. The only thing that's not fine, Gregory. It's not fine.
Oh, you mustn't let that upset you too much, Auntie. I mean, we've all got to go some... As they say, Auntie, there's always one rotten apple in every barrel. Isn't there?
Who said that? Who told you that, Gregory?
Nobody. Nobody told me that, Auntie.
Doctors? Did they say that?
No. No, Auntie. I don't think so.
I don't mind doctors looking at me, Gregory. It's when they talk about me that I get nervous. You know what I mean, Gregory? Behind my back.
Oh.
Mm. One diagnosis leads to another, and there's no knowing where it will end. Gregory, If I die, do you think it will make people think I'm being a bit eccentric? I wish I were religious, Gregory. Unfortunately, it doesn't run in the family, except for a mad cousin of my mother's. He became a Roman Catholic after the Second Battle of Ypres. I think it may have had something to do with his having to dig all those awful trenches. The mud got into everything, you know.
Are there any magazines you'd like, Auntie?
If only your Uncle Edgar was still alive. Still alive.
Auntie? I'm still here, Auntie.
Go back.
Go back?
Go back and focus her attention.
But, Frank, Auntie's not got the sort of attention that
Gregory.
Can be focused.
Go back. Go back. 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 Back.
Hello, Auntie. Again. I've come to talk to you. Again. About things.
I'll have a custard cream, then.
Ooh, thank you, Auntie.
It comes to us all sooner or later, Gregory.
Biscuits, do you mean, Auntie?
Death.
Death? Oh, yes. Mm.
Do you know how old your Uncle Edgar was before he died?
No. Pardon me.
He'd still be alive today if it hadn't been for Korsakoff's disease. It drove him to drink, you know.
1 minute. Your Uncle Edgar was as fit as a fiddle. The next, he started writing letters to the Times, saying he owned all the biscuit factories in the world.
It struck as quickly as that.
Did Uncle Edgar own any biscuit factories, Auntie?
Didn't even like biscuits. Have another custard cream, Gregory.
Oh, no. No, thank you, Auntie. One custard cream is quite enough.
You've eaten eight?
Yes. That's how I know one is enough, Auntie.
Do you know, Gregory? Yesterday evening, I had a very strange experience. While I was being given a bed bath, I suddenly heard the voice of your Uncle Edgar.
Oh?
Normally, your uncle would never have dreamt of interrupting me while I was having a bath. That's why I was so surprised to hear his voice. Well, anyway, what do you think Edgar said to me? Cure Korsakoff's disease. On and on he went saying, cure Korsakoff's disease.
Oh, did he? Hmm.
I mean, I know nothing about medicine. And your uncle kept on about curing Korsakoff's disease. I'll be quite frank with you, Gregory, I got slightly irritated.
Oh.
But now I've thought about things, I think I know what Edgar wants me to do.
Oh, that's good, Auntie.
This morning I wrote to Mr. Miles Whipple, the manager of Blomberg's Bank, and told him that I want to leave every penny of my money to Dr. Fowler's clinic for the diagnosis and treatment of Korsakoff's disease.
Oh, dear.
Near Woolwich Arsenal.
Are you quite sure it was Uncle Edgar's voice you heard, Auntie?
You're not suggesting I would converse with any other gentleman whilst taking a bath, are you, Gregory?
Fowler.
Fowler.
Dr. Ernest Fowler, Cheney Drive, Woolwich Arsenal. That sounds like him, Gregory. Yeah, now, just pass me down Bellows Medical Encyclopedia, will you? Hello, Gregory.
Right.
Now, next we have to establish exactly what this Korsakoff's disease is all about. Kleptomania, knee-jerk, Korsakoff's syndrome. Nothing else listed like it, so Korsakoff's syndrome it must be. Korsakoff's syndrome, a mental disorder distinguished by a weakness or loss of memory retention with consequent disturbance of orientation, often producing proneness to exaggerated boasting and deception.
That's it. That's what killed my Uncle Edgar. Korsakoff's.
I wouldn't have thought a person could have died from boasting and deceiving, Gregory. Rather worrying, in a way.
I think Auntie Mabel may have said something about Korsakoff's disease having driven my Uncle Edgar to the drink.
No, I'm not surprised. Not at all surprised. Now then, Gregory, I think before we do anything else, I should pay a little visit to Dr. Fowler's clinic in Woolwich Arsenal. I've got a little plan for me at the back of my mind that could, with a little give and a little take, still work to our advantage.
Yes. Frank, do you think I should have my hair cut? Or do you think I shouldn't?
You've shown me what deep, satisfying love can be like, Miles. Even though you are a bank manager. You've made me realize myself as a woman, Miles. A real woman. A whole woman. A true woman. Shut up and go away. Oh, not you, Miles. Just wait for one moment, my own true darling.
Afternoon?
Yes.
Yeah, an appointment with Dr. Ernest Fowler.
Go down the corridor, last door on the right.
Thank you.
Just go in. Knock first.
Thank you.
Miles? Hello, my true heart. You know, you and you alone understand the deep things in my inner nature. The creativity, the love, the yearning.
Dr. Fowler?
Correct.
I'm Mr. Cocker. Your secretary...
Take a seat.
Oh, thanks.
He is not only my secretary, Mr. Cocker. The junior is also my wife.
Oh, very pleasant.
Virginia's father came to the clinic suffering from Korsakoff's psychosis on the 17th of May, 1976.
Yes.
At 3:10.
Yes.
A.M.
Yes.
He died on the 1st of August, 1977.
Oh.
At 12:46.
Ah, P.M. Well.
I married Virginia on the 6th of November, 1977, 12 noon precisely. Caxton Hall, morning dress, photographs in the Tatler.
Indeed.
Death, Mr. Cocker. Love, Mr. Cocker. Love and death, Mr. Cocker.
Well, of course.
One door closes, another opens. Life is like that, Mr. Cocker.
No doubt.
I am very happy, very happy, very, very happy. Very happy.
I'm sure.
You would like to see round the clinic, Mr. Cocker?
Well, no, I didn't particularly want to inconvenience...
No inconvenience. Come this way.
Right.
It's a small clinic.
Yes.
Small but cozy.
Yes.
Cozy yet clean.
Yeah, fine.
Clean but not clinical.
No, quite.
250 guineas a week, not including laundry. Put your head in there.
Through the night of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of it.
When that patient was first brought here, he thought he was God. After 6 months of intensive care, he relinquished this position in favor of being the Archbishop of Canterbury, and thereafter the moderator of the Church of Scotland.
Ah.
You see, with occasional lapses, Mr. Cocker, there has been a general movement in favor of the low church. We are very satisfied.
Yeah, I'm sure.
At the present time, he thinks he is the revised Methodist hymnal.
Dr. Fowler.
That is me.
Dr. Fowler, the matter that actually brought me here today...
We have 5 patients at present. 2 females, aged 34 and 56. 3 males, 27, 41, 62. The next patient is interesting. He brought that church bell with him. We really hadn't room for his church, even though it was empty. Go in.
Oh. I am dead.
He thinks he's dead.
I am dead.
Why does he think he's dead?
It's his way of dealing with his fear of dying.
Very unusual.
I spend hours trying to convince him he will live forever.
Is that realistic?
No. But when he believes it, he will be like everyone else. Normal.
Well, what actually do you do by way of treatment here, Dr. Fowler?
Psychotherapy, hydrotherapy, insulin therapy, occupational therapy, electric shock therapy.
My,
everything is therapy, everything. If patients resist therapy, I forget to give them jam for tea.
Good Lord.
In a therapeutically orientated world, Mr. Cocker, accidental punishment has its place in the scheme of things, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, now, Dr. Fowler, interesting as this conducted tour all is, I mean, the actual reason for my coming here today is because I have a personal friend who is currently giving me a great deal of concern.
Ah, In my profession, one becomes very familiar with the projection of problems. Careful of that piece of flex. This building needs the electrics completely rewiring. Unfortunately, that costs money.
Yes, well, as I was saying, this friend of mine gives me a great deal of anxiety. You see, he has an aunt of advanced years who possesses a not inconsiderable fortune.
I am more AC than DC, Mr. Cocker.
Yes.
I always have been.
Well, now, Dr. Fowler, this aunt intends to leave her not inconsiderable fortune to your clinic.
You must not tempt me with your neurotic fantasies, Mr. Cocker. No. Electrics or no electrics.
No, it's not a fantasy, Dr. Fowler. I can assure you that this friend, this foolhardy friend of mine, has made it abundantly clear.
Abundantly clear, yes.
Yeah, he's made it abundantly clear and beyond peradventure.
Beyond peradventure, yes.
Beyond peradventure that he intends to contest this will through every court in the land, if need be.
Well, well. And how many courts are there in the land? Does your friend know?
Well, I don't know whether he knows, no. Well, I imagine there would be a good few.
Ha ha! No doubt there are. Now, that was a thoroughly healthy, uncomplicated Caucasian laugh. Would you care to hear it again?
No. Thank you.
You really should hear my wife and I laughing together on a Sunday evening. Enchanting, quite enchanting. Continue, Mr. Cocker.
Well, to cut things short, Dr. Fowler, I said to him, this friend of mine, that is, I said to him, listen to me, my friend, I said. I'm sure this Dr. Fowler is a reasonable man, man of the world.
Man of the world, yes.
I'm sure that he'd rather settle matters out of court rather than in court.
Out of court, in court, yes.
I'm sure Dr. Fowler would be willing to negotiate something reasonable. My friend.
Who are you talking to, me?
No, that's what I said to my friend.
My friend?
Yes, that's right.
Aha!
Do you follow my meaning, Doctor?
Perfectly.
Oh, that's good.
And I only want to ask you one question.
Certainly.
How may I contact your next of kin, Mr. Cocker?
What is life? Life without me. What is
life? Turn off that muck.
I've always combed my hair to the classics, Frank. Ever since my father missed the last train back from Glyndebourne after the Barber of Seville, he was never seen again.
Oh. Your Auntie Mabel decided to leave her money to Dr. Fowler after she had a dream.
Yes. Oh, Frank.
Now, Gregory, you must have a dream that will help your Auntie Mabel to change her mind.
Oh. Must I?
Yes, you must.
Good afternoon, Auntie.
Oh, where am I?
Here, Auntie.
Oh, yes, I am. How are you, Gregory? Have you got a cold?
No. Did you think I might have a cold, Auntie?
No, dear. It was just that you caught me unawares. I couldn't think of anything else to say.
Oh. Well, how are you, Auntie, today?
I'm very well, Gregory, apart from the fact that I'm dying, that is.
Oh, yes, of course. Auntie, I wanted to tell you something.
Something about my heart?
No. No. You remember you had that dream the other day about Uncle Edgar?
Dream?
Well, you remember. He's asking you to find a cure for Korsakoff's disease.
That wasn't a dream, Gregory. That was a manifestation, and it's greatly put my mind at ease.
Yes. Well, Auntie, I think you should know. I've been talking to Uncle Edgar recently.
What? What? Real Uncle Edgar?
Yes, Auntie.
He's alive? You mean after that expensive funeral, he's still alive?
No. No, Auntie. I mean he's been talking to me from the other side.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, the other side. Oh, we've had some long chats, Auntie. Uncle Edgar
And me?
I do hope you didn't tire him out, Gregory.
Oh, no, Aunt.
His health was always delicate, even before he contracted Korsakoff's disease.
Oh, I'm sure I didn't exhaust him. As a matter of fact, Auntie, his health's been a lot better since he's been, dead.
Probably the change of climate.
Yes. But anyway, Auntie, he did happen to say, in passing, that he was very worried about your leaving your money to Dr. Fowler's clinic in Woolwich Arsenal.
Your Uncle Edgar said that?
Yes, Auntie. He was very worried.
Stupid man.
I got the feeling he'd given the matter a lot of thought, Auntie. You know, and discussed it with an awful lot of people.
Who? Who had he discussed it with, Gregory?
Who? Napoleon, yes.
Napoleon?
Mm-hmm.
Your Uncle Edgar discussed my will with Napoleon?
Yes, Auntie. Napoleon didn't like the idea much, either.
But Gregory, your Uncle Edgar can't speak a word of French.
No. It was the first thing he had to learn when he died, Auntie. Well, they like people to speak two languages, to A level if possible. I think it's got something to do with the common market, Auntie.
Oh, yes, oh. Oh, well, so long as it ultimately leads us to getting cheaper butter.
So, anyway, Uncle Edgar wants you to alter your will. Again, Auntie.
Well, you can tell your Uncle Edgar the next time you speak to him, or I'll tell him myself if he calls here first. I'm not altering a line of it. Not a line. It's in Blomberg's bank, and in Blomberg's bank it stays.
Oh.
Try to understand, Gregory. I deeply love your Uncle Edgar, but his personality had some terrible flaws. You see, his parents never sent him to a prep school.
The will is in Blomberg's bank.
Yes.
If there is no will, who gets your auntie's money?
Oh, you, Frank. I mean, me.
We are going to rob Blomberg's bank.
Oh, I'd rather not, Frank.
Are you a coward?
No, Frank. No. I'm not a coward. It's just that I'm not brave in a conventional way. My bravery is more spiritual than physical, Frank.
We're not going to hold up the bank, Gregory. We're going to pay a visit to the manager of Blomberg's bank at his home. And we will persuade him to help us.
Oh, will we?
Well, of course, there'll be the outward trappings of violence, a display of guns, threatening stances, dangerous suggestions, eyes staring with madness, deep breathing, even occasionally feet kicking chairs out of the way.
I don't like the sound of him, Frank.
Imbecile? That's what we are going to do to him. Now, Gregory, you've got it all quite clear in your mind. The bank manager is called Mr. Miles Whipple.
Yes. Do we call him Mr. Whipple, or do you think he would prefer just plain Miles?
But we call him nothing. Leave all the talking to me, Gregory. Naturally, we shall have to have nom de plumes. You call me Scott. That's after my boyhood hero, Scott of the Antarctic.
Ooh. Could I be called the Prisoner of Zenda? I saw that film 22 times. The Plaza, Richmond. 1965.
Your name will be Oates.
Oates. Is that after porridge oats, Frank?
Miles Whipple speaking. Virginia, do you think it's wise to phone me at home, my darling? Yes, I realize your husband is going mad, Virginia, but we are living in a changing world, you know.
Miles?
My own wife is not easy to live with. Oh, yes, she's normal. As a matter of fact, her extreme normality is gradually destroying me.
Miles?
Yes, my love?
Two gentlemen have drawn up in front of the house in a car.
How fascinating, my love. Do you see what I have to put up with? 5 minutes ago, she told me our neighbors had taken in their washing.
They're getting out of their car now, Miles, and coming up the garden path.
Oh, yes. They must be the two Turkish businessmen I met last week at the Rotary Lunch. I said they should spend a typical evening with a typical English couple. Of course, I didn't fix a date, so naturally I didn't mean the invitation to be taken seriously.
Oh, never mind, dear. It is a lovely thought on your part, and I shall do my very best to give them a pleasurable and memorable evening.
I'm sure you will, dear.
Mind you, Miles, I do hope I don't appear insular. I mean, I don't necessarily want to be typically English. So long as I'm typically something.
Quite, my dear. Hello, Virginia. You see what I have to put up with? That's why my love for you is so total, so absolute, so complete.
I'm sorry to have taken such a time opening the door.
Don't say a word. Don't make a sound.
Oh, thank you. Did you find it difficult finding us?
Go back into the house, slowly.
Oh, how charming. Do come in yourselves, please. Oh, and by the way, I hope you won't mind my mentioning it, but you won't need those guns.
She's a cool one, Frank.
Scott Oates.
Oh, Oates, Scott.
It's what we call a quiet residential neighborhood. We are all friendly, of course, but we never say more than hello to each other. That's why the rates are so high.
Don't try anything.
I don't think I quite caught your names.
Eh?
Your names.
Greg Groats.
Scott.
Oh, how interesting. Are those typical names where you come from?
Not as typical as Gregory and Frank.
Oh, really? Well, how terribly interesting.
Where's your old man?
Old man? Ah, I know whom you mean. Here. We would call him my husband.
Where is he?
At the moment, he's on the phone.
Aye?
The telephone. My sister's husband once lived in Istanbul for a year. Do you know? I remember she brought back a box of real Turkish delight.
She's as nutty as
I enjoyed it very much.
Humorous.
Though normally, sweet things do not agree with me at all.
Will you go and get your husband now?
How very rude of me. As a matter of fact, he does know you're here.
Aye?
Yes. I will go and remind him, though. But first, please let me pour you a drink that is very popular here. We call it sherry.
Sherry?
Spoken perfectly. How long have you been here now?
About 10 minutes, I suppose.
Oh, how utterly delightful. Here we are. Do you, I wonder, know how to spell it?
Why is everybody connected with this business utterly and totally bonkers? Why?
Listen to me, Virginia, please. I never have said, and I never will say you have big feet. Never.
Miles?
No, dearest. Your feet are perfect, like the rest of you. Beautiful feet. Lovely feet. Deeply understanding feet.
Miles, dear.
Hold on a moment, feet. Virginia.
Are you going to be much longer on the phone, dear? Your guests are getting rather restless.
So are.
We interrupt this program to bring you the following information. The National Storms Forecast Center has issued a severe thunderstorm watch for the following Michigan counties and adjoining waters until 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Montmorency, Alpena, Oscoda, Ogemaw, Gladwin, Midland, Tuscola, Shiawassee, Livingston, Genesee, Lapeer, Bay, Aranac, Iosco, and Alcona. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect until 11:30 this evening for persons in the following Michigan counties, Montcalm, Ionia, and Barrie. At 10:05 this evening, a very heavy thunderstorm was moving from northern Kent County into western Montcalm County. Storm was moving eastward at about 40 miles per hour. Other heavy thunderstorms were in a line from Ionia County across southeast Kent County and central Allegan County into southern Lake Michigan, extending westward to the Chicago area. Reports of marble-sized hail have been received from central Ottawa County, and winds gusting to 56 miles per hour were recorded at Muskegon County Airport as the heavier storms moved through these areas. Persons in these areas should be on the lookout for threatening weather and be prepared to take safety precautions should severe weather develop. Please notify neighbors who may be hard of hearing of this situation. This watch is in effect until 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. The warning is in effect until 11:30 this evening. Stay tuned to WCMU and WCML for any further developments or changes in this situation. We now return to Earplay.
What security?
Your husband, bank manager.
Yes? Yes, go on.
Your husband, telephone.
Yes? Yes?
Husband, talk security.
How quickly you pick things up.
Who husband talks security on telephone?
He is called a policeman.
Policeman? Get out of here, Gregory.
Well, now, gentlemen, I'm very sorry to have been delayed for... Oh. Where are they, Elizabeth?
Where's the door?
Miles. I think I may have said the wrong thing.
Dr. Fowler said when one door closes, another opens. Well, one door is going to close for Dr. Fowler, and another door is going to open for us.
Yes. Which particular door is that, Frank?
We are going to kidnap Dr. Fowler's wife, Virginia. That's what we're going to do.
Yes.
And when we have kidnapped Dr. Fowler's wife, Virginia, Dr. Fowler will do anything to get his wife, Virginia, back. Including closing down his clinic.
Marvellous! How will it help, Frank?
Well, if there's no clinic, no money can be left to the clinic. After that, it's all up to your Auntie Mabel to snuff it. Now stop combing your hair and turn off that mask!
No.
It all ended with a strong reaction in the elementary system,
please.
As one might have expected.
Do you think you should have raised the hemoglobin levels a tiny bit?
Please, silence. We are now all going to see what we can find in room 68.
I hope it's pathologically complicated.
I really need all the hemolytic jaundice I can get. May we come in?
I'd also like to see something that's prolapsed.
Pernicious anemia every time for me.
Quiet now!
How are we today?
Edgar? Is that you, Edgar?
No. I'm Dr. Platt, and I've brought some students to look at you.
Bible students? Are they Bible students?
Now, why should you think that they are Bible students?
I thought I might have passed over.
We are all doctors, and we want to look at you.
Well, I am a private patient, and I don't want doctors round me when I'm not feeling well.
I'm terribly sorry. Why didn't somebody tell me that she was a private patient?
I didn't realize she was a private patient.
Yeah.
Look, if you can't tell a private patient when you see one, you shouldn't be practicing medicine.
Now, Gregory, you know how you're going to kidnap Virginia Fowler, don't you?
It's difficult, Frank.
Well, anyone can steal people. They're not like property. Nobody looks after human beings, do they? They're not worth it.
You do it, Frank.
Where can I do it? She knows me, doesn't she? You don't kidnap somebody who knows you, do you? I mean, if anybody knows you, they can't take you seriously, can they?
No. No, I suppose not, Frank.
escape with you like this. At last. The consummation of all my desires. The realization of my spiritual and physical dreams.
I do hope I haven't lost the tickets, Virginia. I put them in my top pocket, but...
Where are you taking me, Miles? All the world lies before us, my love. Tell me. Give me the name of our secret love nest. You know I shall be happy wherever it is.
Folkestone?
Folkestone.
Frank? There's no reply. Perhaps we should try later on, eh?
Try harder.
Oh.
Well?
Follow me, baby.
It's all over. All over.
Actually, I wanted the lady.
The lady? My wife? You mean you wanted my wife? The lady.
She's there.
Somebody else wanted the lady.
Oh.
Somebody else wanted her. Somebody else has taken her.
Oh. All right. I'll be off then.
Right on.
She's not there, Frank.
Right a moment.
Titty Mouse.
Eh?
You've heard about Titty Mouse and Catty Mouse. They both live together in a little house.
My friend's just coming.
Catty Mouse put a pudding in a pot to boil. Titty Mouse put a pudding in a pot to boil. The pot tumbled over and burned Titty Mouse to death. To death.
Yes. Very interesting. I think he's gonna be funny, Frank. He's quoting Shakespeare.
Didn't you see his wife?
No, he opened the door.
We've met before, have you not? You and I.
Well, we may have.
In earlier, happier days. Gone past. If either of you answers to the name of Miles, I am going to ask you for the first and for the last time, give me back my young bride. Give her back to me in cash or a check, fresh or frozen, tinned or dried, grilled or fried. Come back, Titty Mouse.
Something's definitely playing on his mind, Frank.
He's completely unhinged. Yeah, that little trollop of a wife of his seems to have departed with a lover.
Come in, both of you. Come in and see how well I'm destroying my life.
Oh, thank you.
Destruction is the ultimate object of life, is it not?
You're quite a philosopher, Dr. Fowler.
I think I'm very near to discovering the root cause of Korsakoff's psychosis.
Oh, indeed.
Some authorities think it is excessive indulgence in alcohol, but I think this is something else.
Do you now?
I think it is caused by love.
Love?
Love. Detestable love. My friends, love haunts this world like a ghost. Love persecutes its unwanted way. A hated guest in human hearts. Against all that has gone, love forces hope for what is to come. Love merges two into one and unwittingly makes one understand many. Love corrupts carefree lust into guilty loneliness. Love is nothing. Grasp it here and it is there. Lock it up and it is lost. Leaving around its dirty substitutes and aimless artifacts, condoms, goodbye notes, empty aspirin bottles, solicitors' letters, frightened children, orders of custody, helpless omnipotence, nervous breakdowns. In a word, Korsakoff's psychosis. All the world is suffering from Korsakoff's psychosis. Why won't love leave us alone and let us destroy ourselves as nature intended?
I think he's suffering from a serious deficiency of the B vitamins, Frank.
None of my patients have eaten a thing for 3 days. They're thriving on it. Come and look.
I am the County of Kent.
Personally, I think he's the County of Sussex. Not all of Sussex, of course. Oh, dear me, no. Do you know Horsham?
Not personally.
Pity. For me, this patient's Horsham, pure Horsham. For a while, I thought he might turn into the outskirts of Brighton. But then suddenly, something about his eyebrows revealed the high street in Horsham. And after that, there was no looking back.
I am the County of Kent. I have had a bad harvest. No rain, no sun. Just wind. Lots of wind.
He's waiting for the tourist season. Summer will soon come, my little friend.
Well, you're clearly performing miracles.
since Virginia went out of the front door. History has flooded in at the back. This morning, I was the Roman Empire about to decline, and I...
Over the electric flex. Quickly now, Gregory. Help me get into one of these padded cells.
All right, Frank.
He's in urgent need of lock-up therapy. That's it. Fine. Well, it seems to me, Gregory, that we arrived at a most expeditious moment.
Kitty Mouse!
Virginia, why won't you tell me what's wrong with Folkestone?
I have never liked Folkestone.
My darling, why not?
Am I compelled to like Folkestone? Is our love dependent upon my liking Folkestone? Every year, millions and millions of human beings do not go to Folkestone. Does anyone ever ask these millions and millions of human beings, why don't you go to Folkestone? No, they do not. People have a right, a fundamental right, to not say why they do not like Folkestone.
You do still love me, don't you, Virginia?
We have become middle-class criminals, Gregory.
Yes. What do you mean, Frank?
I mean our crimes will go undetected. Mrs. Fowler has kidnapped herself, so to speak. Dr. Fowler has made himself incompetent. We are now going to give the patients a good meal and then we're going to send them all home and close down the clinic.
Oh.
No clinic, no auntie's money for clinic.
Well, say the patients won't go home, Frank.
Listen to me, lad. Patients in clinics and hospitals, like convicts in prisons, all quickly have to learn one hard, simple fact. They have got to do what they are told. They will receive their marching orders from their new medical director, Dr. Frank Cocker.
Why won't you let me kiss you, Virginia?
You've got smelly breath, Miles.
Oh. I'll clean my teeth, Virginia.
That's no good, Miles. I will know that underneath the smell of toothpaste, there's your smelly breath. Just waiting. To pounce.
And so, it is my considered opinion that having added diagnosis to prognosis and multiplied them by the square of a hypotenuse, a completely non-malignant hypotenuse, I am happy to say, you may all now return peacefully to your homes. Amen. So be it, etc., etc.
We can go home!
Certainly.
Are we all cured, then?
Are you what?
Are we cured of course,
very interesting question. Well, you are all perfectly normal.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, and if any of you should, for any reason, feel that you are ill, keep it to yourselves.
Oh.
Now, always remember the worst symptom of any disease is the look on the doctor's face.
Ah.
Dr. Cocker is the savior of mankind. He was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, you know. Hallelujah!
How about three cheers for Dr. Cocker? Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip! Hooray!
No, please, that I'm just an ordinary human being trying to do the best he can for suffering humanity.
Marvellous, Frank. You were marvellous.
Now all we need is the demise of your Auntie Mabel.
That phone's been ringing non-stop today, matron.
Well, if it's relatives inquiring about patients, nurse, just say they're comfortable.
They're comfortable, yes, matron.
By saying they're comfortable, you save a lot of trouble finding out how they actually are.
I see, matron. The Memorial Hospital? Hello? Yes? Your aunt? Room 68? She's comfortable. What? Yes. She's comfortable.
Room 68, did you say?
Hang on a moment. Yes, matron, room 68.
Well, room 68's empty. She's gone. Departed.
Oh, right. Thank you, matron. Hello? Hello? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. She's not comfortable. No. She's gone. Yes. Departed. Gone. Yes.
Definitely departed.
Auntie has departed.
Well, dearly departed.
It must be. Why is dying the only way out of this world, Frank?
I'm rich. We're rich. Rich, rich, rich. Now we can live genuinely useless lives.
If it weren't for the money, Frank, I'd have been quite happy for her to have gone on for a bit longer.
You're a true Christian, Gregory.
What about him, Frank?
Yeah, I've arranged for the medical authorities to certify him, Gregory. He'll be given all the full benefits of modern psychiatric care.
And what's that, Frank?
He'll be drugged stupid so that nobody in the mental hospital knows he's alive. Yeah, that'll be them now, Gregory. Answer the door.
All right.
Gregory! Auntie Mabel! Why aren't you dead?
So, you told your auntie everything, did you?
I've always thought honesty the best policy, Frank. Once everything's been found out.
Yeah, well, why didn't you tell me your Aunt Mabel had been in hospitals all her life, suffering from terminal tonsillitis, terminal catarrh, even terminal toothache? And why does she want to see us both now? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, all this has nothing to do with me, is it? I'm not in her will, am I? No. I'm just a friend of yours who's been unwittingly drawn into your mercenary schemes, aren't I, Gregory?
I suppose so, Frank, yes.
My parents always said I was easily led.
Choo-choo mouse!
At least we're still living honest lives, Frank.
Honest lives? Honest lives start at 5,000 a year.
Choo-choo mouse!
No, we're penniless, Gregory. Any honesty we reveal must be regarded as an affliction.
Come back, Chitty Mouse!
Listen to that. How long do you think we're going to be pursued by that madman?
Why didn't they certify him?
Oh, well, when someone's too mad for a mental hospital, they release them to friends and relatives and neighbours in the hope that they'll be ignored back into mental health.
Oh.
It's called community care.
Now then, Gregory and Mr. Cocker, I want you both to meet a very dear friend of mine, Mrs.
Moot.
Mrs. Moot.
I think I may have met your nephew before.
Oh?
Oh, yes. Yes. How's your
Getting along?
Not too badly, thank you, considering.
Now, I got to know Mrs. Moot and her dear husband, Mr.
Moot,
while I was in hospital, didn't I, Mrs.?
Yes, you did.
And they are both very charming people. But unfortunately, they both have problems in moving around. You know, I often think that that's a difficulty that particularly attacks charming people. It explains why one meets so few of them about.
Oh.
Anyway, now I've decided not to leave my money to that very curious Dr. Fowler.
Oh.
I thought I'd spend a little of it seeing that Mr. and Mrs. Had a nice holiday by the seaside.
Oh, yes. Nice.
At Folkestone.
Oh.
Mr. and Mrs. Moot both love Folkestone. They spent their honeymoon there, you see, before it was built.
We did.
Yes.
Now, Gregory, I think you and your friend, Mr. Cocker, have both been under some nervous strain recently.
Oh.
You've certainly not been quite yourselves. So I'd like you both to have a little holiday as well.
Well, that's marvellous.
Thank you, Auntie. With Mr. and Mrs. Moot in Folkestone.
Oh.
Then you could help them a little, as they have difficulties getting around, you see. I think
we interrupt this program to bring you the following emergency information. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning. I repeat, a severe thunderstorm warning for the southern half of Isabella County. This thunderstorm warning is in effect until 11:15 this evening. Persons in this area should take immediate safety precautions. Please notify any neighbors who may be hard of hearing. Stay tuned to WCMU and WCML-FM for further details. We now return to Earplay.
It is so kind of you two young gentlemen to push us about all day.
The pleasure is all ours.
You know there is so much good in the world, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
People want to help each other in their journey through life, don't they? Well, that's our experience, isn't it, Mr. Moot?
That's it, enough. Yes, indeed.
I mean, two young, healthy gentlemen like yourselves don't have to help two old people like us, do you? And yet you do, don't you? That surely proves there is goodness at the heart of everything, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Kitty Mouse!
He's still following us, Frank.
Yes. And look who else is here.
Hmm?
The bank manager.
And Virginia. Mm-hmm. Now there's going to be a scene worth watching. Dr. Fowler's seen them.
Kitty Mouse!
Ernest!
My dear Kitty Mouse.
My own darling Tatty Mouse. You're the only man who really understands my feet.
Incredible.
Mr. Moot and I have always believed that God's in his heaven, haven't we, Mr. Moot?
Crinkled eyes. You know, Frank, after all this, I still think I don't know what causes Korsakoff's psychosis.
Nobody knows what causes Korsakoff's psychosis, Gregory. But one thing we do know, it's the only disease that has a happy ending.
Korsakoff's Psychosis by Jeffrey Parkinson. In this BBC production, Auntie Mabel was played by Margot Boyd, Dr. Fowler by John Rye, Frank Cocker by Michael Harbour, and Gregory Blow by Steve Hodson. The director was Sean McLaughlin. I'm Jim Fleming, inviting you to join us again for Earplay. Earplay is produced at WHA for National Public Radio under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.